Hello, everybody. Welcome to SWC Single Shot with your host, Chad, from Shots with Comics, every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitch. And now you may be asking, where have you been again? Well, I ended up getting some very severe stomach aches, and that wasn't cool and fun, so we pushed it back. So I decided to do another single shot, and Kit just got back from Aquafur, whatever that con is, the furry convention. And oh boy, is it going to be a wonderful story to hear about what happened. So stay tuned for that. I think he's doing it on Saturday at 7 on his Twitch channel, Boneitas, B-O-N-E-I-T-A-S, Uno. That's Uno as in the card game. So you can look up that and subscribe. We will be back next Sunday talking with our new format, where we'll be taking a look at a review request, a big title, and then an indie title. And I'll also be doing webtoons. And speaking of webtoons, I decided to review one this week because I really like webtoons. That is not a surprise. It is not anything that I have a secret about. I love webtoons. They're great. They're something new. You can read on the go. You can read them whenever you want. They're always going to be there. And they are also something that's really quick in the morning with a cup of coffee. So this one here that I'm looking at is probably one of my favorites. It is Made for Hire. This is a webtoon. You go to webtoons.com. You can search up Made for Hire. And this is by Kathy Octo. There's the writer, and then art by Iri Juhana. And if I said that wrong, well, so sue me. My drink of choice for today is from the Confliction Meadery. I'm finishing off this apple mead that we bought the other couple of weeks ago, and I found it in my beer fridge, and I said, hell yeah, I'm drinking this. And this is also edited by Sonia Tagari. Now, one of the interesting facts about this is that this was originally from 2020. So 2020. I could have just said that, but I'm not. And it was on Webtoons Canvas. I believe it was on Canvas. And then it went on to become a Webtoons original, meaning that it is exclusively on Webtoons. You read it there. It means, I guess, it gets a budget and it gets onto the front page as an advertising opportunity. So congratulations to you guys. This was awesome to see you guys grow. And they also redid the whole first season with touched up art, new dialogue, faster pacing, which was great because the first one was really slow and the main characters were kind of assholes for way too long than they needed to be. And this is one of these examples of a comic where they listened to their audience. It was really awesome to see that happen, and that made it even more exciting for it to drop in 2021. And I believe it was October 13th was when the first season came out for this rendition of it, and it's become a whole lot better. Now, is it perfect? No, and we can get into that later, and a lot of it is just technicalities and such, and some writing things that I didn't care for, but again, this is just my opinion. Now, again, go to webtoons.com, type in Made for Hire, and check this out if you're interested. It's right now on episode 9, because webtoons do it in episodes, not chapters, or also, I guess, whatever else they would be called. Anyway, they're called episodes. So, Made for Hire, you can read 4 more episodes on the app if you pay with coins. You can also do little events as well that they have where you check in every day and you get about 5 coins, which is really cool to see, or really cool to do, because it gives you a free episode once you complete that for your comic of choice, which is neat. I went way further than I needed to, so now I'm all caught up and beyond than the actual episode 9, because I really like this title. This is not going to be a comparison to the previous Canvas title. It's just going to be this one, just because this is what's relevant now, and it's been a long time since I read the other one. I just remember the characters not being very likable at all, and everything was just so slow, and thankfully they improved that a lot. So the story for Made for Hire follows Andrea, a high schooler. I think her name is Andrea or Andrea. I'm not 100% sure on that. I have a friend named Andrea. Andrea and then Andrea is the artist that I have with Lyrical in Blue. So I guess it just depends. So if I flip between those two names, I apologize. It follows Andrea, a high schooler who is the most popular girl around. Everyone admires her. She's pretty, smart, and fashionable. Except one thing. She's hiding a deep, deep secret. She's like dirt freaking poor and works in a mansion as a maid after getting fired from her dry cleaning job. And she works for this big, I think they're like a tech company. I'm not exactly sure what the mansion or the people do. And if they did mention it, I didn't really care because a lot of the stuff about that is completely irrelevant to the actual story. She's also really incredibly easy to anger, which I really enjoy about it. Let's go ahead and click on the first episode and take a look. First off, we are introduced to these characters who are giving their opinions on Andrea. Personally, for me, I thought this was a little useless. You could have just opened up the entire thing with no cuts about who she is and just sprinkled it in because you get it in the very beginning of the episode anyway, so doing this, it just seems kind of redundant and a little silly, but that's just me nitpicking. And then you have the other character is Alex, a rich playboy who is the mortal enemy of Andrea, as he's always harasses her and feels, and Andrea ends up bullying her. He's also dates all these girls for a week, and he jumps from each girl. Why he doesn't get in trouble for that is completely beyond me, but hey, I'm not a rich fuck, so whatever. Except he also has a deep secret. This rich playboy is fully aware of people using him, and he's incredibly unhappy, which doesn't really surprise me in too much, but, you know, what are you gonna do? They're both really cute. As we're flipping through this, you find out a little bit of Andrea's life. She's athletic, she's pretty, she's very prideful in her character. That's really awesome. What happens when you combine Andrea secretly working for our evil playboy's big mansion as a maid? Well, you would think that wacky hijinks ensues in these types of stories. And yeah, that is some points the case is. Like, there's a scene in here where she first starts where Alex throws her underwear or his underwear at Andrea, and he doesn't know she's the maid because she's wearing a mask, and she freaks out because she's holding his underwear, and I think she also picks it up at one point too and finds it. So it's really funny, those types of scenes. But you find out that Andrea is athletic, everybody loves her, she's incredibly popular. It's much more than a comedy in all these. As you're going through this, you see that she's very good into the story. It falls into nobody is who they seem to be types of stories, and it's really good in this. She doesn't really care about dating. She has no real interest in men. She just wants to study. She wants to just live her life in this fantasy. Everybody, I am the most popular, awesome girl. But in reality, she's just kind of filling a void because being poor to her is not cool, in a sense. The other thing I really like about this is Andrea is very hot-headed. She doesn't really give a fuck. She talks to people however she wants, but she's incredibly social, pretty, and great. She's constantly wanting to be accepted, and she will do anything to seem more high maintenance than she really is. That's one of the things I really like about Andrea, is the balance between the two, because when she's out in public, she's walking high-strung and, you know, amazing. She has these big high heels, her makeup's all done and everything, but then when you break down her character, they're all, like, knockoff stuff, and of course, nobody's really gonna notice when you're at a party or, you know, at school. Nobody's gonna look at you that much. They're just gonna see you're wearing something pretty. And in reality, she works at this dry cleaner's. She gets fired afterwards and starts working in this mansion. And then you have Alex as a character is pretty cool. Let me just go ahead and go into the rest of it. So, although Alex teases Andrea and gets under her skin, the main reason why he's like this is super spoilery. I won't go into that too much, but it's really relatable and kind of cute and really depressing. It's a really nice contrast between the two, because you have Andrea who's trying to fit in like Alex does, and then Alex is kind of the opposite of Andrea. Alex wants to be this outspoken, very more, I guess, not angry person, but just more he speaks for himself type deal. And Andrea wants to be more accepted, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I guess Andrea needs to cool off and Alex needs to heat up a little bit, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So one of the things that I really like is while this world is together, they build this world of enemies, frenemies to friends, and then possibly maybe a couple. One of the things that this does as a webtoon is everyone feels they're either stiff and repetitive. Then that's just with a lot of webtoons. What I mean is that when a character think about each other and they are developing a friendship or a relationship, they do the whole why am I thinking about them cliches. This webtoon doesn't do that. And what I mean by that is that when Alex opens up to the maid and he doesn't know who she is, Andrea goes home and actually worries about him, and she doesn't really think about why she's thinking about him, but because she's already built up as this very kind and caring person. And I really enjoy that, because if I ever hear another "why did I just think that" moment between characters, I will scream. They do that during the pervy scenes, but that's not really a huge deal, and that's fine because that's expected, and it'd be really weird when you're thinking about your classmates with their shirtless or in their underwear or something. It gets a little uncomfortable, and I get that. Sorry, I had to take a drink. Alex, as a character, is really nice, and this is one of the scenes that I'm going to be showing you as I scroll through this. Alex is great. At the beginning, you don't really get into his head until a couple of chapters later, which bugged the crap out of me at first, especially in the previous one. And again, I know I said this isn't going to be a compare and contrast, but now that I'm recalling it, in the previous one, it took forever to know what Alex was thinking, and that got really irritating. One of the things that this definitely improves on with him, and this is between the writer and the artist, I believe, is just the body language and how Alex is taken aback when Andrea is very real with him. One of the best scenes, especially in these first scenes here, I believe it's in a later scene. Yeah, it's in the next chapter, but she ends up accidentally breaking his phone. Instead of just making fun of him about it, she gets really, really upset and starts offering him money. Well, Alex gets caught off guard by that and instead ends up going back into his big macho, I don't want to say harassing type character, I guess arrogant is the word that I'm looking for. He retreats back into his arrogant self because he's just completely caught off guard by this situation, and she goes, "Here's some money." Just in a sense, the facial expressions with these characters are very genuine, they're very real, and that especially comes across as like Alex. When you see him, he's incredibly happy in these, and then you look at him later on and he just looks absolutely miserable. And that's what I really like about this, is that you care about these characters. You care about their feelings, you care about the interactions between them. You just bond with these characters. I really enjoy it. I get very excited when a new chapter comes in. Let's take a look at episode 2. And I can show you this whole scene with the breaking of the phone. I'm only going to be talking about this one a little bit more and then a little bit into the other chapters, just because there's a lot to cover with this. In just 9 episodes, there's a lot of cool character study moments and just development. One of the scenes that I really, really like is this girl here during this. She acts like she really cares about Alex, but her comments, she more cares about what Alex is and not who Alex is. During the scene where he gets bit, the only thing that she can really say is, "Are you okay?" And she doesn't back Alex up. Instead, she automatically directs to the phone. And Andrea broke it. So that kind of shows that she doesn't genuinely care about him. She just cares about the idea of him, that he's this rich guy. So that might be just me overthinking it, but it just feels like her character personality is super forced with it. One of the other things is that when, what's the scene? Let me find it. It might be in here, but we'll just move on. When she ends up taking a picture of, when Alex takes a picture of Andrea, she reacts the way that, the girl reacts the way Alex reacts. So it's not a, hey, that's not cool, that is really bullying. She just goes off with him, and she just agrees with him. I call this the bull nose. Her nostrils are so funny. All she's doing is just agreeing with the situation, and that made her an incredibly dislikable person. I'm glad that she's gone with it, but it just showed that a lot of these characters, and you see this throughout Made for Hire, is a lot of the side characters just care about what they represent and not actually who they are as people. And that works very well between these two. Because when you throw them into each other, even when they're fighting, when she breaks the phone, they show that they generally care about each other. They just don't know how to communicate that properly. And they never try to deny that. They just care about each other because their friendship is that middle school crush type deal, and it's very enjoyable, especially with high schoolers. The other thing is too, and I will show this, is my point with the breaking of the phone is that the way she reacts is, I will buy you a new one. And the moment he shows it, instead of her saying, oh, I can't afford it, he says, I'm joking, I don't want your money, and then she gets really uppity about that and shoves it in her face, and I feel like he's never experienced that before in this first chapter, and I'm like, oh, he's completely caught off guard. It's gonna be in this scene here, when she's all like, I really want to pay you back. She's very self-conscious about damaging his phone, she just genuinely cares, and right when he hands it to her, he's completely caught off guard. And yeah, you could say, oh, he's shocked by the movement of it. No, he's shocked that somebody did that to him. And I think this little sweat drop here really shows it, that he's like, what the hell do I do in this situation? Somebody's being nice to me. And instead, it would just be, I don't want your money. And the same thing here is that he's just totally caught off guard. And I loved this about this situation, is that she doesn't back down from it. Instead of just saying, I'm just joking, I'm not really gonna give you money, she just does it. And I think that makes Andrea strong, and it makes Alex a better character than what he seems to be in this. And I wouldn't be surprised if people got hooked during this one chapter, because I did. I think the other one, and never mind, I won't compare to it, but I think it took longer than that. Now for the cons with this webcomic. These are all just things that could be irrelevant to the story, and it's fine. I don't really knock any points off of these, because it's more of a story-based elements, and again, a lot of them can be chucked up to, it's the focus on just your main characters, and not the world around them, rather than the world around them, and then there's the main characters. And essentially what I'm saying is that this could be chalked up as that it's a character study. It's not as in-depth as one, but just to give you more of an understanding, the character study is a better focal point with it, because that's why they're focusing on more of the main characters and not your side characters, and you're not developing them. You're just making them very cardboard cutout type characters. And that's fine. Again, they're just minor nitpicks, and the author and the artist can get mad at me about that, and that's fine. One of the things that I don't really like about this is that it doesn't make sense as to why Andrea doesn't know the reasoning behind Alex's constant breakups. One of the highlights of this series is that Alex is labeled as a playboy, and he dates every couple of weeks a new girl, and they usually tend to be Andrea's friends. And it feels like they don't really tell her anything as to what happened with the breakup. She just notices that they're sad, and she'll go and consult, they swaddle them and calm them down and be there for them. But it never feels like they're telling her why they broke up, and they're not really doing much with it. And again, that's just a nitpick, because at the same time, though, girls will be girls. I know girls girl talk, and that's fine, but do they tell each other why somebody broke up? because it's later on, it kind of seems like nobody holds grudges against Alex, and that gets a little confusing because I feel like that's a bigger question than why they broke up is a good question, and why are you so upset about this, but it seemed like it was more of a mutual understanding. I don't know. I'm not very good at dating, and I'm also not a high schooler, so I don't know how that works anymore. One of my other things that I really didn't like is every side character sucks, except the baker later on. He's really great, and I know he's going to be a main character because he's more well-defined than the others. Everybody else just sort of exists. They kind of exist because of Alex and not for Andrea. And while that might not be the point and that can be explored later, everybody just feels like the reason that they come into existence is just to give Alex another reason to be. There never ever appears to be somebody's backing up Andrea. Everybody just seems to be there for Alex's sake, when I would like to see maybe a friend or somebody there who is aware of Andrea's situation. You know, she's poor, she doesn't really have any money, and she's kind of there helping her with the secret and everything. It would just kind of seem like, it just seems like that Andrea is a lone wolf. And yeah, that's probably because both Alex and Andrea have to stick out as main characters, but give Andrea someone to act in her favor. The friend that she ended up buying coffee from and talking about, or just anything, or just being there for them, I think that was the one. Again, they also tend to blur together on who's talking with her. The one friend who's getting dialed up because Alex is now single just doesn't feel like her friend. It just feels like she's there talking to Andrea because Alex is in the situation with them, and she's not being there for Andrea, especially when anything goes wrong. If that makes sense, you guys can sit there and say, Chad, you don't know what you're talking about, but hopefully the artist and the writer understand what I'm trying to say. This is another nitpick, but Andrea's actions don't have repercussions. It makes it really funny and the comic even better, so don't change that. But from a logical standpoint, yeah, both Andrea and Alex would definitely be suspended or expelled for something. But again, it's a high school and nobody cares. This one's going to be a little bit more complicated, so I'm going to try my best to explain it. The high school scenes just feel like loading times for the main mansion events and also for just the main characters. And what I mean is that Alex and Andrea interact wonderfully in all these scenes, but I could not tell you that they're at a party. I could not tell you that they are at a high school when they're doing it, because they're just drawn into the scene. It's not about them being in the high school. It's not about them being in the party. It's about them interacting. And again, it's because that's not the focal point at all. Sorry guys, my dog is being a pain in the butt with me, and that's okay because he's a big sweet pea and he can be in here as well. Hello, Bobo. And again, this does sort of change later on because the mansion becomes a part of it as well. Again, when the baker introduces himself, you already know they're in the mansion, and that's fine because that's going to be event, hopefully, world building. They do go through a couple of things with the high school later on, but other than that, though, I could never tell you what scene happened where, only because every background was just being drawn in and they weren't actually in that setting. But that's just how I felt with it. In conclusion, with Made for Hire, this comic is exciting and engaging. Taking out your barely considered side characters, minus the baker, and locations that don't add much to the actual story, such as the party scene in the school, you've got a really nice, relaxing story about two people getting to explore and understand each other. Made for Hire puts the focus on Alex and Andrea as your main cast and doesn't care what else is going on around them. Other than that, guys, Kathy, Erie, Sonia, keep up the good work. This is a wonderful comic to take a look at. It's a wonderful comic just to read. I definitely recommend paying the $10 and binging the remaining chapters. I like doing that because I get really excited with this. I also don't like it because I end up not having anything else to read, and I go, man, I wish Made for Hire had a new chapter. And then I see that one is like 3 hours remaining, and I'm like, 5 coins. Give me 5 coins. I give Made for Hire, if I gave it a actual score, I give it an 8 out of 10, just because there were some nitpicky things that I do knock points off, such as the backgrounds and there's the scenery that they're in, and also too, I could not tell you anything about the side characters. And again, all this might change. There is only 9 chapters. So I'm looking for you guys. There is for me, I think there's 12. I truthfully didn't look because we're just talking about these, and I don't want to go into anything else. So a lot of that might change. A lot of that might change. It might develop and evolve, and that's great. But guys, thank you so much for redoing this and also listening to people's feedback and just how to develop the art more, just how to develop the story. That is what a lot of people, a lot of artists and writers, do not do. In our experience, especially with reviewing comics, is that they do evolve and change, but they never make it. They never tell you if it was because of feedback or not. So it's really nice that when this book got into Webtoons Originals, you guys decided to say, okay, well, what can we change? What do people like? What people dislike? And you took that time to, a little bit longer than expected, I guess, but you took that time to craft it for a more tighter and more interesting and more engaging story. So guys, you girls, ladies, friends, everybody, keep up the good work. This is Shots with Comics with a single shot. You guys can listen to us on twitch.tv/shotswithcomics at 8:30 p.m. EST. You can also follow me at Casual Nerd Chad. You can follow us at Shots with Comics on Twitter, where we'll be updating all kinds of stuff. We will get back into tweeting as well. And you can follow me at Casual Nerd Chad, where you can see all of my upcoming projects. I will be releasing one soon, so I do have 2 in the pot right now. And then, of course, you can follow Kit at BONEITIS Bonitis on Twitter. You can also follow him at Bonitis Uno. And stay tuned for some more additional announcements, updates between Kit and I. We really think you're going to love it. We just are waiting for some things to come into the mail, and we're waiting on some important emails, and then we will be ready to go. But anyway, guys, this was Chad signing off. If you want to hear more Webtoon stuff, just let me know in the comments below. Please don't forget to like and subscribe, and please subscribe to the Twitch channel. I know we don't say this enough, but we really appreciate you guys taking the time, listening, hanging out with us. Join me on Saturday, where I will be talking to George McCall and Chris, where they will be talking about with me about the cover of Darkness from Source Point Press. We reviewed that last week, so please go check that out as well. We will also be reviewing a couple of other people's books next week, and also our new format. So guys, it's been real, and good night.